Turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And God has been burning this. It's been part of our devotion, and it's just grown. And that's what's on my heart this evening, and I want to give it to you as well. And 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to read two verses and then back up and tell you a little bit about what Paul is writing to young Timothy here. And in our midst, I don't know, can we stand and while we read these two verses?
Yes, sir.
2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, I sure do love you tonight, and I sure do thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk. And Lord, you know I cannot do this without you. And Lord, I pray that you would show up, and Lord, I pray you would help these people tonight, God. I know you love them, and Lord, I know that you want to feed them, and Lord, I pray that you would use me as your instrument, as your preacher tonight, God, to help them, and Lord, encourage them to go on in this fight for the greatest cause on planet Earth. And Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, be with us, give you all the glory and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I was reading these verses, I don't know how many times I've read these verses or quoted these verses. But here in these last days when we are fighting unknown circumstances and unknown things that we did not know were coming, how are we going to make it through? Young Timothy was put in this situation at the church that Paul left him at, and he was fighting some things that he did not understand as well. When you preach and when you pour your heart out week after week and month after month, and people seem to, it falls on deaf ears and people seem to turn away from the truth, you have a hard time understanding why someone would want to reject the one who gave everything, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his only begotten Son, that they might have life, not life, but have it more abundantly. And Timothy here was going through some of these things. I don't know, we don't have details, but being in the ministry a little while and dealing with people, it could be a multitude of things. And I want to encourage you young people, if I can, if you ever get a chance, get an opportunity to be with your preacher, be with your pastor in a situation that is just you and him or you and a group of you, take advantage of that, because this is where Timothy, and this is where Paul is speaking to Timothy. He brings him back to some places and brings him back to the place to where he was under his leadership and got to see the Apostle Paul preach and teach and lead people to the Savior and his prayer life and all the other things that come along with ministry. Got to be under that and see the burden that the Apostle Paul had and the passion he had for the Lord Jesus Christ, and getting to tell his story down on the Damascus Road. And he got to be under that and be close to him. And that's exactly where Paul goes to bring him back in, bring him back to where Timothy needs to be. Can I say this evening? Can I just give you this? How are we going to get through these days? How are we going to get over the hump, over the problem, over the situation that's in our life? You know, the greatest problem you'll ever face is the one you're facing right now. Because if you can't get over that one, it doesn't matter what's down the road. It really doesn't matter if you can't get through what you're going through right now. And I'm glad to say that God in His grace, hey, is always on time. Hey, and He's got enough, and He is well able, and He can help us if we will just stay fully committed. I believe that's how we're going to make it through, is to be fully committed. And that's what I want to encourage you tonight. Maybe the title or the point of my message is being fully committed. Now you may say, hey, I'm doing everything I can do, and I'm not railroading you, and I'm not trying to push you over your limit, but I'm saying I'm checking myself, and I'm preaching exactly what God's put on my heart. And Paul is talking to the young preacher boy. Hey, he's not talking, but he's talking to his young preacher boy who's doing the will of God and fighting the good fight of faith and doing everything he can do for the glory of God. And that's who he's speaking to. And so tonight, can I give you just a few things about what Paul wanted him to be fully committed to in our text? Well, Paul goes back the first few verses here, and Paul says, hey, I want to do some remembering with you. I want you to see the remembering that I do about you. Do you know I was mentioning earlier about it's just good to be thought about? It's good to be remembered. And I don't know if you meet, when you meet somebody, when you go to a meeting somewhere, and you say, oh, I remember this or that about, whether it's good or bad. I mean, you just chalk that up to our old nature or whatever. But they remember something about you. We always want it to be good, but they remember something. And when somebody remembers you, I always make it, when somebody asks me to pray for them, try to write it down, try to remember them and try to do that. But he was remembering. He said, I remember this faith that was in your grandmother and that was in your mother. And he said, I'm persuaded that it is in you as well. I am persuaded that it's in you. And I remember. He remembers the nights he talked to Timothy and maybe the letters he read and being mindful of his tears. It's what he says in the text. And he remembers those things. It's good to have a remembrance and be remembered. But not only is he remembering in the first few verses there, but verse number 14 or verse number 15, he says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He's not only remembering with Timothy, hey, but he is resembling with Timothy. This is the Apostle Paul, and this is the young preacher boy. Of course it's going to happen to the young preacher boy, but Paul says, hey, no, it's happening to all of us. Hey, those that are down in Asia, they are turned away for whatever reason. If it was Paul was in prison, or if they had turned away from the faith, whatever they turned away from, Paul was feeling the effects. They had turned their backs on the Apostle Paul. Maybe they wouldn't come visit him. Maybe they didn't want him around. Maybe, but whatever it was, they turned their backs on the Apostle Paul. That just doesn't make sense to me, does it you? Why anybody would hear the Apostle Paul preach, see God move in him and around him and what he did for God, and then just to turn their back and leave him cold when he is in need of some fellowship or in need of some consolation or in need of whatever he needed there in prison. And he says, don't think it's strange that it's happened to you. Now, we always think like that, don't we? That, oh, it's only happening to me. Nobody else is going through this. It's just me. Well, you mark her down, friend. That's the first thing Paul put out of Timothy's mind. Say, it's happening to all of us from the top all the way down to the bottom. It is happening to all of us. And your problem is important to God, just as anybody else. It is important. And so tonight I want to encourage, in the middle of Paul remembering, and Paul resembling, relating to Timothy, we see, now you'll skip right over it if you're not careful, but we see a reproving from the Apostle Paul. Now reproving is that gentle bump to get that sheep back in line. It's not a rebuke. Sometimes we always want to jump to the rebuke. When one of our children, especially one of our children do wrong, right? I mean, both feet. Rebuke all the way to town. But sometimes it takes a little reproving, a little remembering, a little resembling, and then a little reproving right there in the middle of it. I need some practice with that. I mean, I always like to go to the rebuking. But you're wrong. You need to quit it right now. That's right. Some of you, you're shaking your head this way, yeah? Hammer down on the rebuke. And now I'm all for rebuke. Paul told him as well, reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And here we have this reproving. So just for a few minutes tonight, I want to give you the thoughts that Paul was trying to get into young Timothy and get him straightened out. Don't get him out of the rut he was in. He was just distracted and maybe a little depressed. Maybe looking down on his ministry a little bit. Like, why in the world am I even doing this if they're not going to listen in the first place? Boy, I've said that a few times after services in Colorado. I mean, God really moved and God blessed it. If they don't get it now, they ain't ever going to get it. And they just turn and walk out the door like nothing happened in service. And I would scratch my head and say, God, what am I even doing here? Talk to my preacher and go in the prayer closet, and God said, you just keep preaching. You're doing right. You're doing right. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. And sure enough, hey, around the corner, around the bend, hey, God, but if I wouldn't have stayed with it, see? And this reproving gets you back on the path. Just because somebody reproves you, hey, that means they really, really love you. Let me give you these few things. In verse number 11, Paul says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. First thing I see is he had an appointment from the Lord. He had a duty and he had a job from the Lord. Can I ask you a question when you look in that text? Which one do you think is greater? The preacher, the apostle, or the teacher? It's a trick question, by the way. Don't answer. I don't think one's greater than the other. You know why? Because they're under another banner. Watch in verse number 10. Brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And there's that colon. Whereunto I am appointed. Those three things belong unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our duties, all of our appointments, if they mean anything to God, and mean anything to our service for the King, it's got to be under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's declaring the message that Jesus saves. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's the gospel message that all these other things hinge on. If you clean the toilets down at the house of God, if you've got anything to do with getting the gospel message out, you've got an appointment from the Lord. You've got a duty. You've got a job to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is important. You have been appointed. What, you know what I like about appointments? Not a whole lot, but there are a few things I do like about appointments. Number one, they're chosen. It's a specific time, specific place, with a specific person, and it's set aside just for you. And when you think about it like that, when Paul said, whereunto I am appointed, he was trying to let Timothy know he's in the same boat. Hey, he has been appointed. He's got a job. He's got a duty. And he was chosen to do that. Chosen by God. When you have an appointment, you have been chosen for a specific time, place, and person. Ain't that right? And so you've been chosen, but you've also been charged when you get an appointment. Not everybody can do what in that appointment. That appointment slot, if you make an appointment with a doctor, that appointment slot has been made for you and nobody else. And they tell you with all the disclaimers, whether it's by email, telephone, card, letter, billboard, whatever they put it on for you, that if you cannot make that appointment, you need to call or you'll get to pay just like you went to the doctor. Ain't that right? Who likes paying for nothing? Anybody here like paying for nothing? No, I don't like paying for half the stuff I pay for, much less paying for nothing. And this appointment was given, and it was not only a chosen appointment, but it was a charged appointment. And it's also a challenge given to this appointment. When you fulfill that appointment, when you do the duty God has called you to do, and you fulfill that, you can check that off the calendar, can't you? You can, or when you fulfill that doctor's one, you can check it off the calendar. You fulfilled that appointment. And when you get, when you get your job accomplished, when you do something for the glory of God, I've got to believe in heaven that God is checking that appointment off. He's checking that duty off because God is keeping record and God is keeping score. Yes. hey, no matter if the world thinks what you're doing is worth the time and effort, God does, and God's keeping a record, and God wants you to know to keep going because He's given you that appointment. And so we see whereunto I am appointed. There was an appointment. And then in verse number 12, not only was there an appointment, but He says, I want you to abide. I want you to stay exactly where you're at. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Along with that duty, along with that appointment, there is also an abiding. But you say, well, it's not in, abiding's not the word in the text. No, but He said, I also suffer these things. You don't suffer something unless you stay right where you're at. You have to stay in that place. And that's why a lot of people leave the church. That's why a lot of people leave the ministry. That's why a lot of people leave their appointment, because suffering comes along and they don't want to abide and wait for God to move and wait for God to take care of things. And they just leave the suffering. They can't handle it. But I am reminded in Scripture that the Apostle Paul in the third chapter of Timothy here, 2 Timothy, in verse number 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's an abiding place. And a place they stay. Do you know there's when people suffer, there's some things that happen to them. And it will mold the rest of their life. I see people when they begin to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm not saying just everyday normal life living, but I'm saying suffering for the cause of Christ. Some people, now this is not good English. You'll have to forgive me, Brother Sexton, but it goes with my alliteration. But some people just get badder. They get worse. They're worse off than when they started because they didn't want to wait on God. And they're in more turmoil. They're uneasy about their life. They're in destruction mode because they did not abide under that suffering that God wanted for them to do. Philippians 3:10, what's suffering good for? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. That's how we really know Christ, is when we suffer with Him. Matter of fact, He said if we don't suffer with Him, we're not going to reign with Him. And we suffer. And Paul said to Timothy, we just have to abide, we have to stay still, we have to stay right there where God wants us. Suffer and learn the things God wants us to learn. Humility, honesty, whatever it may be. God wants us to learn that and abide in that place. Some people get badder. I'm going to have to quit saying that. That's just, my children have to correct me. I'm teaching them, I'm homeschooling them, and then I'm using this. But some people get bitter. They don't go up, they don't get down, but they just get bitter on God and the things of God. And you talk to them, and you try to talk to them about God, and man, you could just see their face scrunch up. How it's the taste in their mouth because they didn't wait on God, and they're just mad at God and bitter against God. I don't want to ever be like that. And I think Paul was saying, we need to suffer these things for the which cause I also suffer these things. Hey, because I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to get sideways with God. And then they get blacker. But I tell you what, we need to get better. Suffering makes us better. It'll make us bolder. The things that you suffer, the things that you go through, the things that you learn in those times of suffering will make you bolder to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see those things the Apostle Paul suffered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12, that thorn in the flesh, and then all those things that he suffered, the stripes and the shipwreck. You know, and can you see the Apostle Paul coming out the other side being, I mean, if you can get any more bolder than the Apostle Paul. And there he is, suffering these things and saying, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'll stay here, I'll abide, I'll stay where you want me, God, so that your power, your hand would still be on me and I can show others and be bolder for the cause of Christ. You know it as well. It brings weight to the table. When you see somebody going through the time of their life and to still raise their hand to glory and say, praise the Lord. Thank God He saved me. Thank God He called me. Hey, thank God He's helping me where I'm at. And He's still good. And He's still God. And He's still going to be with me all the way. Hey, to glory. Hey, that's why Paul said in Romans 8 and 20, or 8, 18. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Hey, there's a God. Hey, He's not making you suffer because He's mad at you. And He's trying to... He loves you. Hey, He wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed yourself. Hey, and God wants you to be up there on the mountain. He wants you to see the other side. He wants you to be bold in your proclamation. And if you can stay right there where God has you, you can stay there and you can abide under that suffering. You can declare to the world, hey, that you have tasted and seen that God is good. Yes. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching now. Yes. Amen. But when we see Jesus, hey, the blood of Christ wraps up in the blood of Christ every benefit that we have. I may just park right here, friend. Hey, but the blood of Christ gives us every benefit we have in redemption. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Hey, we've been brought nigh unto God. Hey, hallelujah. Ye who sometime were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, we've been brought in. We've been redeemed. We've been made worthy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blood of Christ. But then there's the death of Christ. Hey, not only was it the death of Christ, was He made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But He, when He died, we died with Him. When He got up, we got up with Him. Hey, He died in my place. He died as me. The just for the unjust. Hey, the godly for the ungodly. God for the sinner. Hallelujah. The death of Christ. But then we come to the cross of Christ. And how they mocked and how they treated Him, performing the perfect will of God. That's what the cross of Christ represents. That's why we're to die daily and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hey, when we think about carrying and bearing our own burdens and being under suffering and abiding and staying in that secret place, hey, where God has us, no matter if it's in Colorado or right here in Wallen, Tennessee, amen. This is a beautiful state, by the way, amen. You know, I miss the color green. We miss, because we got 8-9 months of white. You get, anyway, let me go on. We're getting in trouble. You know that song that says, for making the sun to shine, for the rivers that flow and the rain and the, we just hum that part now. No, we'll still thank Him for the snow. There's only so much you can stand. Shoveling, and He just keeps coming. Is there an end? But it doesn't matter where you're at. That's where I was going. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you'll stay there and let God show you who you are and what He wants for your life in that time of suffering. I remember praying and seeking God where He wanted me to be. Long nights of prayer. Every time we come to church, every time the doors were open, from the time I come in, the time I went out, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to show, waiting for God to speak, and just staying whatever I was suffering through, knowing that if I would come through this, God would show me, God would give me a task to do, God would appoint me, amen, and let me abide in that suffering and be bold in my proclamation. And I'm glad He showed me. I'm glad He spoke. I'm glad He told me. And I'm glad I stayed with it and abided in that place. You'll be better. You'll be bolder. Be broader. Be able to help more people that you come in contact with if you'll let Christ bring you through that suffering. Don't push it off. Don't push it on somebody else. And I know it's tough. Hey, I know the nights of pain, the nights of toil, the nights you can't sleep. And the nights you're praying for God, hey, just to send you some kind of morsel, send you some kind of manna from heaven, some kind of, God, if you would just speak. But it's worth it. When you're right there where God put you, learning and Him teaching you, and you're abiding under suffering, because that's the next thing Paul goes to, not only your appointment and your abiding, but he talks about his attitude about suffering. He says, nevertheless. I like that word, nevertheless, don't you? That's exactly the word Jesus used when He was in the garden. Father, if it be all possible that this cup would pass from me, nevertheless. Paul said, I don't like suffering no more than you do, Timothy. But nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of our Lord. I'm not ashamed of these chains. I'm not ashamed of the testimony. Hey, I'm not ashamed of the church. Somebody help me. I'm not ashamed of my preacher. Hey, I'm not ashamed of my Bible. Amen. I'm not ashamed. No matter what they say, no matter what suffering comes upon, and I'm telling you, it may get worse. Especially with what we got in the White House, and that's your pastor's job, not mine. But I'm telling you, it may get worse. But I'm saying it's worth it. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Says, I'm not ashamed. He could have had an arrogant attitude. You've been around that crowd, haven't you? Hey, they'll suffer a little bit. They'll do a little something for God, and then they just poke their chest out, and they're arrogant. You can't even talk to them. You can't even fellowship with them because they wouldn't understand your problem, because they'd say, hey, won't you just suck it up? No compassion. Just have an arrogant attitude because of, they're not being not ashamed, but they're just arrogant. Then there's that are abusive. Then there's those that just don't care. They're apathetic. They just don't care. They just don't care anymore. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed. His attitude was right about suffering and serving God and being fully committed. He was right. Last thing. I'm finished preaching. Look at the text. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Paul is showing, he's been saying, I, and now he says, whom? I know whom I have believed. Do you know Christians in our day, we may not know what, we may not know when, we may not know where, we may not know whither or whether or to what extent which one. But we may not know why, but you know what we can always count on is whom? Yes. The Lord Jesus, we can always count on whom? His affection was set. He said, I know. His affection was safe. He said, have believed. And His affection was on the Savior. He said, I know in whom I have believed. It was a personal relationship with Paul. And can I say, it's one affection. Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That one affection. And I'm telling you this evening, Paul had it right. He was urging young Timothy, hey, know whom. No matter what you walk through, no matter what you do, hey, there is going to be that whom with you. He's going to be with you. Which brings us to our allegiance. In the last few phrases there. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How are you going to be fully committed? To commit everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Problem comes your way, it belongs to God. Persecution comes your way, they're not persecuting you, they're persecuting Christ. Hey, just pass it along to God. He says, I can take it, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How to be fully committed? You commit everything you are, everything that comes in your life to God. And you commit it. You're allegiance. You know what allegiance is? It's loyalty. It's obligation to a sovereignty. It's allegiance. Trusting in them fully to take care of what you commit to them. I read this about, I about run out my study in the middle of the night. Wake up everybody. But I read this story about this lady about allegiance. And I want to leave you with this. How to be fully committed. You commit everything to him. When they would have a war in days gone by, old days. It was in an old book. When they'd have a war, how they would recruit for a war was they would get the marching band and let them play and go through town after town after town recruiting. And if that stirred you up, if that their cause got you to the point you want to join, you'd grab your rifle, grab your gear, grab whatever you had, and you would join in the procession. And they're marching down there, and the greater that number got, the greater involvement was made. The greater enthusiasm, the greater the challenge went out. And they were marching through this town, and this older lady, she didn't have a gun, she didn't have a weapon, all she had was a broom. I wish I had a broom. And they marched by, and it got her, and she was so stirred. And so saying, their cause is right. We need to stand up for ourselves. We need people in this battle. So she grabbed a broomstick and ran out there and began to march with those men. Now you go with me now, all right? She's out there, and that broomstick, and all the hecklers on the side that didn't want to join, didn't want to be a part of what's going on, said, what is she going to do in the war with a broomstick? I don't think you're going to do very much with a broomstick, are you? She said, I don't know. I just wanted everybody to know what side I was on. Amen. Every once in a while, you just need to get your broomstick, get your Bible out. Hey, march up and down the street and just let everybody know what side you're on. And show your allegiance and show the devil, hey, that you're going to be fully committed no matter what comes in your way. Now, those are easy words to preach and hard words to live. Hard words to live. But by the grace of God, we all need to declare our allegiance to God and say we need to be fully committed to get through this trial, get through whatever we're going through, and let God get all the glory. I'm on the Lord's side. You draw a line in the sand tonight, friend. I'm going with God. Devil's never done anything for me. This world's never done anything for me. But God's done everything. Everything. Brother Sexton. Everything I have. Every acquaintance I know. Hey, everything good in my life. Hey, it's been because of God. It's been about serving God. No, it's not all been roses. Hey, it's not all been wonderful. There have been some heartache and trials and friends that let you down. Hey, but they're just human. But there's one that's never let me down. Hey, and I'm here to declare tonight, I want to be fully committed. You hold my feet to the fire, friend. I want to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and get through this next bump in the road so we can all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Not that we did it, but we were just a willing vessel. A vessel said, God, I'm not much, but here I am. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. No matter how dark, hey, no matter how hard, hey, we're going to go on for the glory of God. Father, I sure do love you tonight. Sure do thank you for the opportunity Brother Sexton's give us tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help me. This message wasn't for anybody else. It was for me. And God, I want to be fully committed. Everything, all that I have, that you'd be in control. Lord, I pray you touch this church. It means so much to us. Lord, so many memories from the missions conferences and down through the years and the letters. And Lord, I'm thankful just to be a part, just to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you would touch whatever happens next, the invitation. God, I pray that you would take control. You would help us tonight for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, preacher.
Let's bow our heads this evening. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, I wonder if you'd be honest enough with Him to fully commit to Him. If He's dealt with you, would you be honest? While Sister Grace plays for us this evening.